Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
This episode of the Eurotrip is brought to you by the new Malmö Hagen Eurovision pre-party, coming to you live from Copenhagen on Saturday the 4th of May.
Taking place only a bridge away from this year's host city, the event will be the ultimate warm-up show to a huge week of Eurovision action.
Join Eurovision winner Emily DeForest, the class of 2024, live Euroclub DJs and other iconic stars for 10 hours of fun and games, including a quiz and karaoke contest on the festival stage and the pre-show Scandinavian songbook on the main LED stage.
And unique to the existing pre-party tour, you'll also be able to vote for your 2024 winner live before partying the night away until 5 a.m.
You can find out more and book your tickets via the link in the description for today's episode, or head to billetto.dk, that's billetto.dk, and search for Malmö Hagen.
The Eurotrip, when I read that, I was immediately thinking of the movie. Do you know the movie?
Hi, I'm Leanne.
Hello, Leanne. Leanne, are you a Eurotrip podcast listener?
I am, yes. I should say, I met some Eurotrip fans here. I was chatting with people outside the entrance, and they said, oh, are you Bella Fist? And I said, yeah. I know you're from the Eurotrip.
What did you have for breakfast?
It was last night. I did not have a kebab for breakfast.
Queen Laureen, Eurovision winner. Did you ever think you would be back here again?
I get goosebumps. No way!
Martin Osterdahl, executive supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest. Welcome to the Eurotrip.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, I think it is, right?
Hello and welcome to the Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast with me, James.
Me, Rob.
And this week, among many other things, we will be catching up with another one of the class of 2024.
I thought you were going to go straight in with the big sell. I thought you were going to go in with, and this week we will be crossing live to the Disgusting Food Museum, because that is what we're doing today, and you won't hear that on any other Eurovision podcast.
Can we at least preview that first? Because I feel like that has planted enough of a seed of confusion amongst a lot of people. From March to Malmö series this week, as we catch up with somebody from this year's host city, I'll be catching up with the museum director from the Disgusting Food Museum. It is genuinely as fascinating as it sounds on the surface. There is so much to it, and Andreas, who is that museum director, gives you the biggest and the best sell of that place you will ever, ever hear.
Yet weird that the authorities in Malmö haven't gone big on the Disgusting Food Museum as part of the Eurovision programming this year, isn't it? Really strange.
Very, very odd, but it's one to look forward to. As I say, though, another one of the class of 2024, Rob, you've been catching up with the Maltese artist.
Yes, I don't want Sarah Bonici to think that she's been kind of demoted to the second best spot on the podcast by the Disgusting Food Museum. She definitely hasn't. We had a lovely conversation earlier on, and we chat about all sorts of things, including her dog, who in a way kind of interrupts the interview, but we'll get to that a bit later on. But we also chat to Sarah about, of course, what it was like meeting the artists from 2024 for the first time at the pre-party in Madrid over the weekend. She's busy now preparing to come to London this weekend for the London Eurovision party. So lots to talk to her about.
And of course, we'll be chatting all about the very first pre-party of the season. So we've got all that and more to come. You're listening on Acast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. This is the Eurotrip.
Another week then here on the Eurotrip. James, I don't want you to feel too sad because this is the last time that I'll be with you for a couple of weeks. I'm off for the next 2 weeks.
It is, yeah. Remind us where you're going, because you're going for your official honeymoon. If people listened in the autumn, they'll remember you've already had a honeymoon, but not like an official one. I don't know how it works.
No, James, like a really annoying millennial, I have had a mini moon. which is what I did after the wedding. We went to Hungary for a few days after the wedding. I went to Budapest and then the Hungarian countryside. So that was in October. We're doing our proper honeymoon. So we go on Monday next week. We're going to Iceland for 12 days. Very, very excited. And I've spent the majority of my salary and time over the last however many months just collecting as much warm weather gear as possible.
I was going to say, it's going to be a chilly one. You're not going to Húsavík, though, are you?
Well, yes, I am. I've not told you this. So we're going whale watching, and the whale watching leaves from Húsavík. It's all very Eurovision film. It's all very funny. They tell you that to go on the whale watching trip, you have to meet them opposite the fish and chip shop in Húsavík. I mean, I don't think Húsavík is very big, as we know, so I don't think it'll be hard to find. But do I need to try and seek out the Eurovision Museum?
You already know the answer to that one. You absolutely have to.
I need to get onto Orly, don't I, the curator of the Eurovision Museum in Húsavík. This is, of course, in Húsavík as a result of the Eurovision movie. And we've spoken about it on the podcast years ago, didn't we? We had a special episode all about it, I think, back in 2021.
We did, yes. So the Eurovision Museum contains loads of, I was going to use the word artifacts, but I presume that's only used for ancient things. But exhibits, I guess, is the better word.
You can find a fossilized version of the Eurovision winner from... No, I won't go any further than that.
But that'll be good. So you do get to go to Húsavík. So fingers crossed you get to go to the museum. That'll be very fun. Well, yes, it does mean you'll be away for 2 weeks. The podcast will continue, though. I'll still be here. I've got plenty of great guests lined up already that are already in the diary.
And given that we're in Iceland for 12 days, going to be driving a lot. So ideally, if you can do two lovely episodes of the podcast, that'd be great, because that would at least tick off a couple of hours of the road trip.
Yes, it would be good as well. Iceland is not big. If you happen to bump into anybody Eurovision related, perhaps their commentator, or perhaps somebody who's represented the country before, take the mic with you, will you? And see if you can get an impromptu interview. That would be good.
I'll do my best. Yeah, Iceland's like that, isn't it? You just walk around, you bump into people. I'll bump into Hera Bjork. She'll be knocking about somewhere, I'm sure, or Greta Salome, everyone. I'm now trying to think of just Icelandic artists. Jonsi? Remember Jonsi?
Yes.
Who else is the name of it? Yeah, but Polka Punk?
Close up. Polka Punk, wasn't it?
Polka Punk, they all work down the garage now, the lads.
They were all teachers, weren't they? I wonder if they're all still teachers, actually. But you can figure that out. You've got 2 weeks over there. You can do some research. Yes, good idea. Let me read out some of the messages we've had from some of you listening over the last week or so. I had an email from Dennis. You can email us hello@eurotrippodcast.com, by the way. Dennis said, "Hello, lads. Long time listener, first time writer." Well, Dennis, thank you. Followed you since the first episode way back when.
Oh, hello, Dennis. Thank you very much for being with us for so long.
Indeed, yes. He says, "Your weekly podcast, free from all the usual negativity, is the perfect pick-me-up I need to keep the week going. And as a Swede, I enjoy the podcast so much more, Rob, when you pronounce the Swedish names correctly."
Are you Dennis? Have you sent us an email?
It's not me.
Is that what's happened here? And when I say, are you Dennis, I mean James. Are you Dennis?
Yeah, I promise I'm not. Dennis says, keep it up. If we ever meet in Sweden, I will buy you a coffee myself and save you the money because it is not cheap. I look forward to an interview with the host, Endre, of course. All the hard-hitting questions like, how does it feel to represent Sweden in Sweden? And on Norway cheering you on? And so on and so on. Some Dennis.
Well, thank you very much, Dennis, for your suggested questions there for Marcus and Martinez, because actually, those are very timely. All being well, at the time, James, that me and you were recording, I'm supposed to be chatting to Marcus and Martinez tomorrow. So very exciting. Dennis, maybe I will put those hard-hitting questions to them.
Yes, indeed.
And another brilliant message here. This is very, very fun. This one comes in from Tom. So thank you for emailing us, Tom. Tom said, hello, I thought I'd share this tweet about our Eurovision WhatsApp group. And then he goes on to say, ChatGPT has been helping us round up all the Eurovision chat throughout the last week on our WhatsApp for a friend who was needing to catch up. And perhaps it makes it sound like we need to get out more. Love the podcast, by the way. This is one of these things where AI does some quite hilarious things, and AI here has summarized the chat for, as Tom said, their friend who needed catching up on all the Eurovision discussion that had been happening in the WhatsApp group. So yeah, ChatGPT has summarized the last week of conversation in the Eurovision fan group chat. So it says such things as, the group had extensive discussions about their favourite songs for Eurovision 2024, with various members expressing their love for the entries from Georgia, Malta, Switzerland, Austria, Denmark, and others. There would be a lot of speculation about which songs would qualify from the semi-finals, which is very, very fun. The semi-final running orders were announced, with Cyprus opening semi-final 1 and Malta opening semi-final 2. The group analysed the running order in depth. And then this is my favourite bit. Other topics that were discussed included, according to ChatGPT, plans to attend Eurovision-related events in Malmö, like the ABBA exhibition, the revamp of Albania's song from Albanian to English, Loreen performing at Manchester Pride later in the year, one member of the group, Colin, getting a permanent residency in Switzerland after living there for 5 years, and my personal favourite, joking about the idea of Switzerland hosting in 2025 if they win, and the lack of gay bars in Geneva.
Hey, well, at least it'll be cheap for that group, though, now that Colin's got permanent residency. They can all just kip at Colin's house, can't they?
It depends where in Switzerland he is. It's not much help if it's not where Eurovision is it?
True. Well, maybe Colin has a bit of pull amongst the EBU if it does end up hosting next year.
Yeah, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but the EBU would love it if Eurovision was in Geneva next year. Yeah, not to be a conspiracy theorist, but the EBU would love it if Eurovision was in Geneva next year, wouldn't they? Wouldn't have to go very far.
I think they'd all just stay in their own beds if they live in Geneva.
They could turn the canteen into the press centre.
You can email us, of course, hello@eurotrippodcast.com, and you can get in touch with us online as well. We are at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads.
It is time for all the latest news from the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. And James, I'm surprised that you are not more smug on this episode.
Well, I already know you are on about the running orders. Last week, when was it? Tuesday evening, the running orders for the semi-finals came out. We recorded the podcast on Tuesday lunchtime. So when you heard it, you would have known the running orders. But when we spoke and recorded the podcast, we didn't know them, but put our predictions in. And I remarkably got 3 out of 4. And the only reason I'm not smug is because I mentioned at the time I was a bit under the weather. So I must admit, I didn't put much thought into it. So I'm kicking myself that I didn't really think about it and thought, Belgium really isn't a closer. So I think I really should have and could have got 4 out of 4.
I did think that you saying Belgium was a closer was a bit rogue. I mean, I got that right. So I got the closing song for semi-final 2 correct, which James is, of course.
The Netherlands, isn't it? Joost Klein. We should have worked together. I think what we're saying here is, for Eurovision 2025, we can pitch ourselves to be a producer together. We will split the wage. We will split the salary. We will just do it together. I'm happy to work part-time. Are you happy to work part-time? We'll just split the salary.
Would you like to be Krista or would you like to be Bjorkman?
I'll take Krista, please. You can take Bjorkman.
I'll be Bjorkman. And all of this has made me realise that Bjorkman is actually a really good name for a pet.
It is. We have a spaniel called Bjorkman.
Do you have? Here
yes,
it is.
There it is.
Do you have a pet that is named after someone or something to do with the Eurovision Song Contest? Please do get in touch.
Have you got a hamster called Donna? Have you got a pet guinea pig called Monoskin? Let us know. Surely somebody does.
Have you got Verka the cat? Do let us know. Oh, dearie me, that is fantastic. And that all came from us talking about the running orders, everybody. And that is what happens here on the Eurotrip podcast. Yeah, well done anyway, James. You got 3 out of 4 of the openers and the closers correct. Just to remind everybody, I feel like we should actually go through this. Who is opening and who is closing, James? Because we've not really said it, other than to say that the Netherlands are closing semi-final 2.
Yeah, semi-final 1. Cyprus are open, so Celia Kapsis, who we spoke to on the podcast last week. And then closing it will be Tally for Luxembourg. Opening semi-final 2 is Sarah Bonici, who will be on the podcast later today, which is quite nice that both the openers have been on week to week. And then, as we mentioned, the Netherlands, Joost Klein, will close semi-final 2. And of course, those semi-finals will have the Big Five and the host country slotted in between them. We know exactly where they'll perform as well.
Yeah, Ollie Alexander for the United Kingdom performing immediately after Bambi Thug for Ireland in semi-final 1. Ollie Alexander, the first of the Big Five that we will see in the semi-finals, am I right?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works. It'll have to tell the casual audience effectively not to vote for this country. So it'll be interesting to see how that works. But I guess there's a lot of people usually watching a semi-final that they can't vote in anyway. So I guess we might not even see anything specific on the screen. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, talking of Ollie Alexander, but more specifically the BBC, congratulations again to the BBC's Eurovision team who put on Eurovision 2023. It feels like they're getting an award every week at this point. Well, the Royal Television Society Awards happened here in the UK last week, since we last recorded the podcast. The BBC took home 2 awards. The production team won Best Live Event for Eurovision 2023, but also Hannah Waddingham won Best Entertainment Performance for her role as one of the presenters of the show. I think safe to say both of those awards, very, very well deserved. And also very nice as well in her acceptance speech. Didn't Hannah Waddingham do a big thanks to Lee Smithurst as well, big friend of us here on the Eurotrip podcast. So that was lovely to hear.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, so scooped 2 awards last week. I think they won another award a few weeks ago, a month ago. Was it the Broadcast Awards? I think they picked something up.
They're up for a BAFTA as well.
A BAFTA or two, I think. I think we've got a few nominations. That's in May. I think it's just after Eurovision 2024. So it'll be a nice full circle moment if Eurovision 2024 comes to an end and then they pick up a gong. You don't think people call awards gongs anymore, do they? But I guess they could pick one up in May as well.
The first pre-party of this season is in the books. It happened in Madrid over the weekend, and we got our first glimpse, didn't we, of the artists performing their songs live on stage through some pretty grainy TikTok and Instagram footage. And also, what was very wholesome, and I will talk to Sarah Bonici about this later on, we saw, of course, the artists meeting for the first time, which was a very nice thing.
Yes, it was, wasn't it? I think this is kind of like the first real coming together, not of all the artists, but a good, I think there was in excess of 20, nearly 30 of the artists, wasn't there, all together. So it was really nice to see them all come together for the first time, get to see some of them perform for the first time. I think Musti, Colleen, Celia Kapsis, I think were a few of them who that was their first live performance. So nice to get a bit of a gauge about what they are actually like on stage. Not the be all and end of all, of course, because we'll see the full live performance in May, but nice to see them actually getting on stage and performing for the first time.
Yeah, talking of those performances, I know a lot of people very impressed with Nemo for Switzerland. Switzerland have headed towards the top of the odds now for Eurovision 2024. Ollie Alexander also impressing, I think, for the United Kingdom. James, did you see much of the performances?
Not a great deal. I wasn't entirely sure if it was actually live streamed or not, but if it was, I didn't watch it, but I've watched some of the performances back on YouTube and such like. But I think just generally, just nice to see some of them on stage. I mentioned Colleen performed for the first time, so I watched her performance, and she's great. I mean, it's no doubt she's great on stage because of her career as sort of being like the Eurovision bridesmaid and never the bride, hasn't she, over the last few years. So great to see her getting her time in the limelight finally.
Well, me and you have just been talking about everything that happened in Madrid at the weekend. Shall we speak to somebody who was actually there? Pleased to say, joining me now, the host of the official Eurovision podcast. Hello, Steve Holden.
Hello, Rob. It's good to be here.
Always an absolute pleasure. So lovely to have you. How are you? Because at the weekend, you were in Madrid. So how was it?
Yeah, it was amazing. Pre-party ES, the first pre-party of the season. I described this to, I was talking to a couple of the acts this year, and we were describing it as basically the first day of school term, because there was this moment where we were all in the lobby of the hotel, all the delegations staying in the same hotel and us, and we're all in the lobby waiting to go to the venue on the Friday night, and everyone's looking at each other going, oh yeah, that's that country, and oh, you actually exist in real life, and nervously walking over to them and tapping on the shoulder and going, oh hi, it's such and such from such and such, and it just, there's a bit of an icebreaker going on, but to see people in real life was really surreal. Like Windows 95 man was there with Henry, his singer, in full Windows 95 man regalia. And I was like, oh, you are a real person. Amazing. So it was really nice. Lots of the acts meeting each other for the first time. There was lots of collaborations going on, different countries wanting to get content with each other. And then also that weird thing at breakfast, you know, in the same hotel where it's like a conference where...
Did you find yourself, like you said, in the breakfast buffet line with Nemo or... whoever.
Yes. Who was I down in breakfast with? Margaret Berger, who was obviously from Norway 2013, saw her every morning at breakfast and had a conversation over toasting some toast. Malta was there one morning. Musti from Belgium was there. I went down quite early because I'm a bit, I don't know, sometimes I get a little bit nervous around seeing people out of context. But it was very funny, but it was very nice. And everyone was saying hello and having little catch ups. It was a nice environment, and it was a good preview of what was to come.
Well, how was it then catching up with the artists of 2024 over the weekend? Obviously, the first chance that you would have seen a lot of them in person. I know you've had a chance to speak to a couple of them in person. A couple of them have been to your actual flat in London, which we'll talk about in a bit. But yeah. How was it actually seeing them in person and just experiencing it all? Because I think once pre-party season starts, it really feels like the countdown to Eurovision is on.
Yeah, it was really nice. We did a couple of interviews for the podcast, and we're doing a special for the second year in a row. We're doing a Spanish language version of the podcast because the Spanish Eurovision fans, as we know, are just amazing. They are so passionate about it. So we interviewed Lena Bulosa. We interviewed Yolanda from Portugal. We interviewed Megara from San Marino because they are Spanish. And they are just so enthusiastic. Chatted to Nemo as well from Switzerland. That was a really nice interview. I'm not going to tell you why, but it is out this week, so you can hear. But you might know already.
I just think I've seen on your socials that I'm not going to say too much either because people obviously need to listen, but is there a toilet involved?
There might be a toilet involved, yes. Yeah. What a tease. There's a toilet tease. So, and what's nice about these pre-parties is lots of the delegations, it's the same people running the delegations as do every year. So it's actually nice to catch up with them as well, because, you know, they're with a different artist, but they're still the same person. And so you have a little bit of a gossip and a chat. There was a really nice moment where I was in my room, not my bedroom, but the room that we were doing the podcast in, and all of a sudden I heard someone singing, and it was amazing. And I was like, who is that? And we all kind of went down the corridor, peered in, and it was Nemo singing with the Ukrainian girls, this amazing operatic version of The Code. And that hit home about how talented the people are who are taking part. Like, first and foremost, most of them, you know, all of them arguably are singers. and they are good singers as well. So it was really nice to see. And you just be in the corridor and there would be Musti from Belgium, and then Ollie Alexander and his entourage would walk past. Just felt like Eurovision got kickstarted, you know?
And on that, you know, talking about them as singers and as performers, the pre-party in Madrid was the first chance we'd seen for a lot of them to perform live, and especially to perform live in front of Eurovision fans, of which there were many, many, many of them in Madrid. So, you know, what were some of the performances like? What was it like getting to experience that?
We were really excited. I think there was about 24 or 25 of this year's artists, and the main gig was on the Saturday night. Obviously in Spain, everything is a little bit later than the UK. So the gig didn't start till 10 and finished near enough 2 a.m. because they had to get through everybody. So it kicked off with Windows 95 Man doing No Rules, and it finished with Nebulosa singing Thora, obviously for the Spanish fans. And people were just really excited to see people singing their songs, like Aiko doing the new version of Pedestal. Nobody at that point had seen Nemo singing The Code live. Who else was there that was... Angelina Mango was there singing La Noia.
Ollie as well, of course, for the UK.
Oh, Ollie, yes. And actually, that was exciting because he did King by Years and Years, and then he did Dizzy. So it was like a little mini concert. Hera Björk for Iceland did her first song, Je Ne Sais Quoi, and then Scared of Heights. So a couple of people got to sing a couple of songs. Nutsa from Georgia, she didn't sing her song Firefighter. She has had like a personal tragedy in her life, and she sang Hurt by Christina Aguilera, which is her favorite Christina song, and sang that instead. But that was the only act that didn't sing what they're going to perform at Eurovision. But everyone, the crowd was just so well receiving of everybody, because, you know, everyone there is a Eurovision fan and they want to see those people on stage. I would say that it is funny that Windows 95 Man, basically first on, gets it over and done with. It's like We Are Dommy at Eurovision. You know,
yes.
They're first on, they get it done, and then they can relax. But at the very end, I'm trying to think, at the very end, so after everyone had performed, the people that were still around that I saw were Sylvester Belt from Lithuania, Nemo was still there, Aiko was still there, Raven from Slovenia. I think those are the ones that were there till the bitter end.
So they're the hardcores. If you see them in Malmö, those are the people, those are the ones that most like to be in the Euro Club.
Yes, probably, I would say. Obviously, they are professionals.
But
they were the ones there at the end that were involved. I think some of them were involved in a conga line going around the club. But yeah, it was very late by that point. And also, it got to 2 a.m. and then it skipped forward an hour to 3 o'clock.
Of course it did, of course.
The time change. So all of a sudden I look at my phone, I'm like, oh God, it's 3 o'clock. I'm tired, I want to go to bed. But no, it was a very fun atmosphere and a very fun evening. And everyone did great.
How is Eurovision 2024 for you so far, Steve? How have things been going on the podcast? Because I know you've been doing your own weekly episodes for a good while now, and obviously, you know, full steam ahead to Malmö. So how are things going? Because I know you've even had a couple of artists, as I mentioned earlier, to your house in London.
Yes, I know. It's been amazing. Well, obviously, your friend and ours, Aiko, has been here because she lives in Brighton. So she came. I do the podcast. It's no secret. I do the podcast from my house. And the other one I had here was Boyan from Joker Out, because I was interviewing Raven. She was actually the first artist from this year's class that I had on the podcast this year. And Boyan has co-written a bit of the song. And so I messaged him and said, oh, do you want to come in on the studio online and, you know, surprise Raven? We'll do something funny. And he said, oh, well, me and the boys from Joker Out were in London, so I can just come to the studio. And I said, oh, well, I don't have a studio. The studio is my house. And he was like, yeah, I'll come to your house. So it was like a random Tuesday morning, knock at the door, and there's Boyan from Joker Out. So I was like, yeah, this is my kitchen and this is where we film the podcast. So where I'm sitting right now, he was just on the sofa, like behind the laptop. And so when we surprised, I said to Raven, what's the most annoying thing about Boyan? She could have said anything, but because she didn't know that he was here.
Can you imagine?
Said,
oh, you know, gone really
I know. Well, I think he wanted her to say something really bad, but she said, oh, he gives too much advice, but kind of joking. And then he slips into shot. And it was just really nice, a really nice moment, because they are friends. You know, they hang out in Slovenia. So there's been some really lovely moments. And, you know, someone like Bambi Thug has been really interesting. Who else? Trying to think who else I've had on the pod now. But, you know, it just goes, you know what it's like, Rob. It goes so fast, doesn't it? But yeah, it's been fun. It's been full on and fun in the best way possible.
Well, and it's about to get more full on this weekend in London for you, because a very, very exciting thing you're doing. So tell everyone.
Yes. Yes, so for the first time, the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast is being recorded in front of a live audience at the London Eurovision Party. Tickets are on sale right now. There are still some left. But on stage with me, we are having Conchita celebrating 10 years of winning with Rise Like a Phoenix. Kano are joining us, as well as Gustav from Belgium last
year.
What
a lineup.
And then, I know. Well, yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it? And then whoever else we can find, hopefully, to join us in, because when we're recording, between 2:30 and 3:30 on the afternoon of the party. And at that point, there's going to be lots of press events going on, sound checks. So it's literally going to be a bit of a pick a mix about who is free to come on stage.
Steve, we've already said it. Malmö is merely weeks away. So
I know.
Very, very exciting. I know. I can't quite get my head around it, but I'm sure we will see you in Malmö.
Can't wait to see you. I know you've got like exciting plans there as well. We are going to have a great time. So it's less than a month, Rob.
We will see you there, Steve. Thank you as ever for joining us on the Euro trip. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Rob.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media at Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
So welcome back then to the Eurotrip podcast, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast. Thank you to all of you, by the way, who are new listeners. I know many of you have joined us for the first time in 2024 as we get set for Malmö in just a few weeks' time. And James, now, well, not now, we'll get to it in a second, the disgusting food museum on the way.
Yes, we'll get to it in just a second, but you've shouted out new listeners and just like magic, I'm going to read out an email we got from a fairly new listener. So this email is from Mark, and it relates to, of course, Eurovision Songs in the Wild. We still continue to get submissions for this. But Mark says, hi, Robin James. I'm a fairly new listener, but long-time Eurovision watcher. My first memory is the Allston Brothers winning in 2000. I love the podcast, by the way. I used to work in Morrison's in Dundee, obviously in Scotland, for many years while I was at university. Every year on Eurovision Week, they would play Eurovision Classics. However, during the rest of the year, they would play a random playlist of songs. One of these songs was Germany's 2014 entry, Is It Right? I'd often hear it play in the morning while sorting the magazines and newspapers. And to this day, I still don't know why it was actually on the playlist. Keep up the good work, he says. He can't wait for Malmö.
That is very, very niche. And as I always say with Eurovision Songs in the World, the nicher, the better. I love these so much. So, yeah, thank you to all of you that have been in touch. And James, I know you've got one more, have you, this week?
One more, yes. We mentioned last week Stuart had emailed in and he'd sent a good handful. So I thought I'd save them for week after week. Well, this one from Stuart this week says, just a couple of weeks ago, while getting a beard trim at my Turkish barbers in Aldgate. Is that London? Is that near you?
Yes, near me. Oh, someone's okay. Doing well. I'm going to my Iranian barbers before my holiday.
Ah, right. In Aldgate?
Not in Aldgate, no. In Fitzrovia, for anyone that cares.
Wow, that sounds even posher than Aldgate. Wow.
You've been to Fitzrovia. Don't give me that. You've been.
Have I?
Yes.
When?
You've been here, where I am now.
Oh, is that? Oh, well, okay. Yes, I have then. It's all just names and words to me. Anyway, Stuart says, I was in the chair with my face covered by a hot towel when I heard Snap by Rosa Lynn come on their very eclectic playlist. As if I wasn't delighted enough to hear this, the barber then started singing along and he knew all the words.
Is that because, much like we were hearing about the playlist of Morrison's, is that because that barbershop just has one playlist and the barber listens to Rosalind Snap about 15 times a day?
Perhaps. It is one of those Eurovision songs where it is an expected song now, isn't it? Because it did so well after Eurovision. It became sort of well-known outside of the Eurovision bubble. So it's kind of one of those you almost expect to hear every now and again.
Oh, well, thank you for all of your Eurovision Song in the Wild contributions. Very much appreciated. If you do want to get in touch with us, then please do send them in on socials or send them on the email as well, hello@eurotrippodcast.com. Now, Sarah Benici from Malta is on the way. But James, it's time for this.
Yes, it's time for the march to Malmö. We continue our build-up to the Eurovision Song Contest in Sweden this year, and each week we are catching up with somebody who lives and works in the city.
Yeah, for the last couple of weeks we have been hearing from Rick Jacobs, the man behind the Eurofan Cafe, where of course we will be starring on Thursday, the 9th of May. That's the Thursday before the Eurovision Grand Final, the same day as semi-final number two. Me and James will be down there at the Eurofan Cafe with some special guests to chat all things Eurovision. So make sure you keep across our socials for details of what we'll be getting up to and how you can be there. But James, a new guest joining us from Malmö today.
Yes, and a brilliant one at that, because I'm going to speak to Andreas Ahrens, who is the museum director of the Disgusting Food Museum, which is not something I expected to say until Rob sent me a message earlier in the week saying, I've got somebody for you to interview, and this is who it is. It was a huge surprise, I must admit.
Yeah, this podcast is not hastily put together, let me tell you. Bids were put in months ago to try and secure the director of the Disgusting Food Museum.
But this place does exactly what it says on the tin. It is a museum to disgusting foods from around the world. I'll not tell you too much now because Andreas will tell you a lot more about it, but it sounds like a great place, very creative, and probably something you should put on your list of things to do in your downtime if you are out for Eurovision week in Malmö. So this is what happened when I caught up with Andreas a little bit earlier on. Andreas, welcome to the Eurotrip. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks. Nice to have you on. I'm just going to repeat your job title, as you are the museum director of the Disgusting Food Museum. I mean, where did that come from?
Well, I mean, traveling all over the world, eating foods all over the world, and realizing that what we like and what we dislike, it's mostly just cultural. It's all good. And then disgust is a fundamental human emotion that we all have that has helped us survive the millennia by avoiding things that could be potentially dangerous.
So how long have you been in this job? Like, when did this first come around for you?
So we started working on it about pretty much exactly 6 years ago now. And then we opened in October 2018, so like 5.5 years ago.
And before that, obviously, it sounds like you've done a lot of traveling to find all of these foods that are exhibited within the museum, right?
Yeah, I've traveled pretty much my whole life with my parents, with my family growing up, and after that as well. I lived in the Philippines for a couple of years and explored the local food there. So I love traveling, and food is always in the center of each travel.
I was on the website a little bit earlier on, just to have a look at kind of what people would expect if they do come along. I'm sure there'll be loads of people listening who will be there in May looking for extra things to do. And I noticed fermented herring, roasted guinea pigs, and maggot-infested cheese. Those were three of the ones that really jumped out to me. I mean, it really is disgusting food, isn't it? It's not a lie.
Well, I mean, it is only disgusting if you don't grow up with it. I mean, fermented herring from Sweden is absolutely normal in the north of Sweden, but it is the thing that has caused the highest number of vomits in the museum. Our tickets are actually vomit bags, and we have a counter. So when I was there Saturday, we were up to 430 vomits and still rising. Pretty much once a week or something like that, we get a vomit.
So people actually do walk around and then actually throw up because something is so disgusting. Is this just at the sight of it, the smell of it, or what is it?
It's mostly in our lovely tasting bar where people can get to try about 25 of these things themselves. It's included in the ticket price, and it is a journey through insects, stinky cheeses, fermented fish, and some of the spiciest chilies known to man.
And is it the fermented herring that sort of tips people over the edge more than anything else, do you think?
It is. Yeah, it is definitely up there. It's number one or number two. It varies a little bit. But I mean, just to put people at ease, most people who visit do not vomit. It's usually like one of a thousand, several thousand every now and then. So most people are okay. But it does happen.
Have you vomited? That's the big question.
Not since we opened the museum, but I did during research, and it was more mental than anything else. I tried balut, the partially fermented duck fetus, eaten inside the shell of a duck egg. And when I bit into it, it kind of popped in my mouth, blood and guts everywhere, and that kind of made me vomit a little bit. Oh, other than that, no.
Oh, some of this food just, I mean, obviously it does sound disgusting, but obviously there are cultural differences, aren't there, for this food that you found across the world. And for a lot of people, it's very normal. But for obviously for a lot of people who visit, it's so extreme, isn't it? Because some of the things yeah. I read out and some of the things you mentioned just seem so extraordinary because we wouldn't eat them in day-to-day life, right?
No, not necessarily. But for example, we have a couple of things from the UK. We have haggis, of course.
Yes.
Black pudding.
Yes.
Stinking bishop cheese that mm-hmm. smells like stinky feet. So every country has their own disgusting foods, but we get accustomed to them because we are taught to like them, and then we become less sensitive to them. So what we're really trying to show is that we are all equally disgusting. We all have our own disgusting foods. We just don't see them as disgusting. And when you put it all together and people can experience, they can look, they can smell and potentially taste some of them, you get to understand more that we shouldn't judge other cultures as disgusting. You know, we all have our own disgusting foods. And that is part of the journey that people take in the museum.
It sounds fascinating. I'm desperate to come along. I'm sure loads of people listening will be wanting to snap up a ticket when they come next month. Just to chat a little bit about Malmö as well, of course. You've been around the world. You've been in so many different places. What is it you love about Malmö? Obviously, you've lived there for a number of years and worked there for a number of years. What is it about Malmö that you really love?
It's a very international city. We have people from almost every country in the world living in Malmö. And it's distinctly Swedish, yet very close to the continent and easy to get over to Copenhagen and fly out into the world from there. But it is very, I'd say, very cozy city. It's not the kind of big city pulse that Stockholm has, the kind of the rush and the stress. But it is still very Swedish and a good mix of everything. Foods from all over the world, restaurants that you can eat food from the whole world. While still enjoying the lovely life of Sweden.
And what about Eurovision then? It's, you know, it's 11 years since Eurovision was in Malmö. It's back again in the next few weeks or so. What's it like at the moment? Is it still a bit quiet? Is there a sense that Eurovision is around the corner? Or do you think we might have to wait another week for it to really, really start to bubble up?
I think it will start to really bubble up in a week or so when people are starting to prepare for it. Businesses are starting to prepare. Things start to happen, like physically in the city. Obviously, on the planning stages, a lot have been happening for a long time, ever since the city knew. But the ordinary citizens and tourists will probably start to see the signs of Eurovision coming within the next week or two.
Very, very exciting. And remind people where you actually are within the city, because the museum is fairly central, isn't it? It's not as if you have to actually travel far to get to it.
No, it's smack dab in the middle, Södra Förstadsgatan 2. It's right at the channel where it the road crosses over the channel. It's right there. Perfect location, both for if you come by train or if you go by car. It is quite close to, right in the middle of the two main train stations, Triangle and the Central Station.
So no excuse for people not to come and visit. That's
none whatsoever. No, you all have to come.
Absolutely. Now, Andreas, before you go, we do this on the podcast every week where we get a Swedish word or a Swedish phrase from our guests that might be useful or might be just a little bit silly. I wonder if you've got something for us this week.
I have two of them. One is very, probably one of the best Swedish words, and that is lagom. It's not too much, not too little. It's just right. All of that is said in just one word, lagom.
So it's lagom.
Lagom, yes, lagom. Exactly.
Okay.
And something more topical for us would be äckligt, disgusting.
Ah, so there we go. So äckligt is for disgusting.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, hopefully we won't be having too much äckligt food, apart from if we come to the museum, of course. So there we go. Two brand new words we've learnt this week. Brilliant. Well, Andreas, thank you so much again for coming to chat. And I'm sure many people will be coming along to the museum for something a little bit different this Eurovision season.
You're most welcome.
You're listening to The Eurotrip,
the world's favourite Eurovision podcast.
When you aren't listening, find us on social media. At Eurotrip Podcast on Twitter and Instagram.
Well, James, I think we can put that down as a very productive March to Malmö. We'll do well to beat that on future editions of the March to Malmö before we get to Malmö itself in a few weeks' time. Andreas was fantastic.
He was. Really, really loved it. And I love the fact that he has the tally of how many times people are vomiting as they walk around. He says it doesn't happen often, obviously, but often enough that they keep the tally going.
Anything on the, I was going to say the menu, anything on the list of exhibits there that you fancy having a try of?
Well, not really, because it all does genuinely sound pretty horrid. But I'm just so fascinated by it that I really do want to try and find some time to go and have a walk around and potentially at least have a sniff of something. Not a taste necessarily, as you heard, you can do, but it's clearly not for the faint-hearted.
Maybe we can record an episode from Malmö, from the Disgusting Food Museum.
You imagine the background noises, though? People throwing up.
Just people chucking up in the background. But yeah, maybe best that we don't do our live podcast recording in the Disgusting Food Museum. Maybe it is better off in the Eurofan Cafe. But yeah, thank you very much to Andreas for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. And James, will the March to Malmö return next week, of course, when you're in solo charge of the podcast for a couple of weeks?
I do hope so. Yes, we'll be chatting to somebody else who lives or works in Malmö, this year's host city.
Well, it is now time to hear from another of the class of 2024. Last week, as we've already mentioned, we spoke to Cilia Kapsis from Cyprus, representing them at Eurovision this year, who is opening the first semi-final. But opening semi-final number two is, of course, Sarah Bonici with her song Loop for Malta. Now, we already spoke about Loop on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, of course, the song undergoing a revamp with the help of some crack Swedish producers, including Linnea Deb, who joined us and chatted to James all about the work that they were doing on the entry. Well, it was lovely to catch up with Sarah Bonici herself. She had just returned from the pre-party in Madrid at the weekend, where she got to perform the song, perform the revamp for the first time live, but also meet many of her fellow artists from the class of 2024. So we'll chat about that. We'll chat about all sorts of other things as well, including what she'll be packing in her suitcase before she goes to Malmö. And the interview is kind of derailed by her dog. You'll hear that in a moment as well. But here's what happened when we caught up a little bit earlier on. Sarah Bonici, welcome to the Eurotrip.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Sarah, first question from me, of course. How was Madrid? You've just got back from Madrid, your first pre-party of the season. How was it?
It was insane. I loved every minute. Obviously, very hectic. Had like jam-packed days, but I loved it. It was the first time I got to perform Loop in front of a live audience, because the multinational final did not have an audience. And it's the first time I actually performed it and in front of an audience. And it was, the feeling was insane. Just incredible, honestly. I loved it.
And of course, one of the biggest things, as well as meeting the Eurovision fans who were there, is meeting the rest of the participants this year. So how much fun was that, catching up with people that you're going to be, you know, with all the way through until May now?
Yes, that was actually really great. And I made like some really good friends. And like Dons, for example, he's a great guy. Like, I think he will be my buddy. met most of them. And so far, everyone is so, so nice. And it was amazing meeting them.
And from having a look on the official Eurovision socials, I think you were learning a bit of choreography and you were teaching some of the other artists some of your choreography as well.
Yes. They put myself and Baby Lasagna together and they were teaching the choreography to each other. So he taught me his own little dance and I taught him mine. Yeah, we had some fun there. It was hilarious though, because I was with heels as well, trying to do like his steps. It was funny. Anyway, and he was really funny as well.
How did you rate his loop choreography? How did he get on?
Oh, he did really well. We were all impressed. He was like really doing it well. And he gave it his own twist. So that was fun.
So, Sarah, of course, we're talking now in April, so like early April. So you've got pre-party season coming up and then, of course, you'll be at Eurovision in just over a month's time. So how are preparations going for you? We were talking just before we started the interview and it's quite hard, isn't it, to fit everything in. You've got the pre-parties, you've got interviews like this, you've got rehearsals, you've got so much to pack in.
Yes, exactly. It's really hectic and, you know, it's actually crazy because, as I was telling you, I'm also from Gozo, so I need to keep on traveling between Malta and Gozo. I rehearse in London because my dancers are from London, so that as well requires myself, like, traveling. I obviously have pre-parties, obviously have, you know, other commitments which I need to, you know, commit to, related as well to Eurovision. So it's a lot of things. But, you know, I just try to plan and, you know, try to juggle everything. And yeah, well, I take it day by day, I guess.
You mentioned there that your dancers are from London. So does this mean that you've got British dancers joining you? Or tell us a little bit more about the dancers that will be joining you in Malmö.
Yeah, I got British dancers. Yes.
Sarah, one thing that people might not know who might be listening to this is this, of course, isn't your first experience of, I suppose, the Eurovision bubble. I mean, it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. Do you want to tell everyone listening to this?
Yeah, I mean, back when I was young, the Malta Junior Eurovision and I came third. And then the year after, I joined the national delegation, Junior Eurovision, actual Junior Eurovision abroad to Belarus, where we represented Malta as a backup singer and dancer. And that was actually a great experience, sort of my first Eurovision experience.
And are you managing to relax? Are you managing any downtime? And if you do, what do you do? I spoke to Bessa from Albania. She was saying she takes her dogs for a walk. What about you?
I mean, it's a lot. So sometimes finding the time to relax is actually challenging. But what I try to do is just spend time with my family as much as I can, try to go for walks, yes, as well with my dog. I don't know if you can hear her snoring because she's snoring right now. She's sleeping.
Sarah, I genuinely thought that was building work. Is this your dog snoring?
That is my dog. Yes, and I'm trying to click my fingers for her to stop and she keeps on snoring. So yes, that's why dog's snoring, she's sleeping. So I try to spend time with my dog and just play the piano and just lose myself in like music and playing piano. Yeah, that really relaxes me.
And is there anything that you are definitely taking with you to Malmö? I remember speaking to Aiko back in January. I think there's a specific type of chocolate that she's making sure she takes with her. Is there anything that's definitely going in your suitcase to Sweden?
For sure. It's actually here. It's my grandma just died a few weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
No, it's okay. But she was my number one fan. She literally raised me. So for me, she was always the first person to watch my performances, so supportive, and I loved her so much. She was always the person that I used to think about before going on stage, even when she was alive, because I always wanted to make her proud, because I owe so much to her. She always believed in me, gave me the confidence I needed. So she was my everything. And now that she died, I mean, she saw me winning the multinational final. So at least she saw that, but now she's missing this. So I just hope she's watching me from heaven. And you know what? This is what definitely I will just take with me and keep it close to my heart and just think about her before I go on stage.
Oh, well, Sarah, she'd be so incredibly proud of everything you're doing. And of course, going to Eurovision this year. So next up for you, remind us what you're up to next. Another pre-party, a busy weekend this weekend.
Yes. London up next. Super excited. I'm going to perform in London pre-party. And I also have a surprise performance somewhere else in London. But I'll announce that soon.
Sarah, thank you so much for chatting. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope your dog enjoys the rest of her sleep as well.
She's a lucky one. She's a lucky one. Very spoiled. And now she's resting, unlike me. I have to work.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll catch up again in Sweden.
Yes.
You're listening to The Eurotrip, the world's favourite Eurovision podcast.
Lovely to welcome Sarah Bonici onto the podcast to find out more about her and her song. Of course, she will be opening semi-final number 2 in a matter of just 36 days' time.
Not long at all to go. Very, very exciting. Lovely to speak to Sarah on the podcast. Very, very quickly, very funny story. I was supposed to speak to Sarah Bonici last week, and I joined the Zoom, as we do before we chat to the artists. Time kept going, so Sarah was, I think, 10, 20, 25 minutes late. But, you know, these things happen. And I was just about to hang up when she joined the call from the back of a taxi. And she was very, very lovely. She didn't have to do this. She joined the Zoom specifically to tell me that she was really sorry, but she wouldn't have time to do the interview with me because she had to go and get her hair and nails done before she was going to Madrid. But she felt bad that her assistant would have to pass on the information. So she wanted to tell me herself, which was very, very nice of her. So I think that is testament for what a lovely, lovely person Sarah Bonici actually is, but lovely to manage to actually get to talk to her this week.
Yes, very, very nice. We'll be chatting to more of the Class of 2024 over the next few weeks as our build-up continues. But before we wrap up today's episode, it is time for the 1 second song, in which last week, Rob, I think you failed to add a point to your tally. So it remains 18-16 to me, where I have a chance to extend my lead this week.
Absolutely. So for the first time, for James and all of you listening, here is this week's 1 second song.
I mean, I don't want to sound confident, but I'm confident.
I thought you would be, to be honest. I thought I was being incredibly generous to you this week. So James is, of course, after the name of the artist, the name of the song, the year it was performed, and the country which it was representing. So 4 points on offer. James, you probably don't need it, but here's the song one more time.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident it was, because you've been a bit cheeky, because you've gone for a 2020 song, I believe. It was Armenia. The song was Chains on You. Now, I'm going to tell you the artist, but maybe I've gotten mixed up with somebody else, but I'm going to say Athena Manoukian. Have I gotten mixed up? Is it 4 points?
It is 4 points.
Yes. Hey, there it is. 4 points to the tally.
Yeah, so that is Athena Manoukian for Armenia in 2020 with Chains on You.
Yes, I'm really pleased about that. 2216 it is now. I'm going to quickly tell you a story. Not sure if I've ever told this story before. I might have done on the podcast. But you remember a few years ago when we used to be involved with Eurojury, the televised prediction of what the results would be like. We still went ahead with it, as you remember, for the 2020 contest when it had been cancelled. You presented it. I was one of the producers. And one of the jurors that we got, we went a bit rogue in 2020, just to have a bit of fun because of COVID and lockdown. One of the jurors for the UK was Paul Chuckle, as part of the Chuckle Brothers on Chuckle Vision. Not a reference you will understand, perhaps, if you're from outside of the UK. But if you are from outside of the UK, it is rogue. If you're British, you will understand it is a rogue appointment to the UK jury. And Paul Chuckle gave 12 points to Chains on You. That was his favourite song.
Do you think he still listens to it to this day, 4 years on?
I would really like to think so. I'm hoping that he does I know he's big on TikTok. He likes social media, doesn't he? I'm hoping one day he might do a DJ set because he does that sort of thing as well now. And he just slips that song in. I'd love to hear it.
We had Kyle on the podcast last week, one of our listeners giving his predictions for Eurovision 2024. Maybe we need to get Paul Chuckle's predictions for Eurovision 2024 on the podcast before we go to Malmö. Maybe that's something we can work on. Maybe that can be your homework while I'm in Iceland.
That is a good idea. I'm sure I've got his email address still knocking around somewhere. I might give it a go.
Any ideas why that was this week's 1 second song?
Not a clue, I must admit. No idea.
Okay, well, we spoke to Sarah Benici from Malta, of course, on the podcast this week. She mentioned in that interview that, of course, she has been to the Junior Eurovision Song Contest in the past. She was a backing singer for Nicole Azzopardi at Junior Eurovision 2010. That contest, Junior Eurovision 2010, was won by Armenia. The artist that won the contest in 2010, Junior Eurovision, was Vladimir Azamayan. And Vladimir Azamayan attempted to represent Armenia at the adult contest in 2020, but was, of course, beaten by Athina Manoukian.
Well, I tell you, this thing is not just thrown together, is it? This podcast, there's proper planning and preparation, although sometimes it doesn't sound like it.
What an episode. We've chatted about Bjorkman the dog. We've chatted about all sorts of absolute nonsense. Paul Chuckle has had it all this week. What a send-off for me, honestly.
What a send-off, yes. Enjoy your 2 weeks of honeymoon in Iceland. Rob will not be with us next week or the week after. So I am pleading for you to come and join me. I'm doing it all alone, so I kind of need the company. So send in your messages now if you've got Eurovision songs in the wild, if you have named your pet after a Eurovision artist or anything else Eurovision related. Please do get in touch. I'd love to hear from you. We're on the email, hello@eurotripodcast.com. You can send us a message as well on socials. We are at Eurotripodcast on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. I'd love to hear from you.
And a special thank you to everybody who joined us on the podcast today, including the host of the official Eurovision podcast, Steve Holden. Lovely to have him on to hear his memories and his thoughts on everything that happened in Madrid for the pre-party last weekend. Special thank you as well, of course, to Sarah Benici from Malta. And James, a special thank you as well to the lovely fella that joined you from the Disgusting Food Museum.
Yes, thanks, Andreas. Well, in the meantime, until we're back with you next week, don't forget to subscribe, leave us a review, and rate us 5 stars. From me, James, it's goodbye.
And from me, Rob, it's goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.